Alaska Public Media's Every Little Bit recognizes people who go above and beyond to strengthen our community in Anchorage and South Central Alaska.
I think if someone wants to start a community event, they should just go for it.
I believe in serving your neighbor, love one another.
There's always something that you can do.
Wherever people meet one another's needs, all of us are enriched by that.
Do you know someone doing good in your community? Nominate them at alaskapublic.org/littlebit.
Welcome to Outdoor Explorer on Alaska Public Media. I'm your host, Amy Bouchatz. The Matsuboro is home to some of the toughest running races in the state, including the Matt Peak Challenge each August and the Susitna 100 in the frigid winter. But over the last several years, one area runner has worked to expand the region's running events into new options, including ultra-distance and trail races designed to be newcomer-friendly. Join me as we talk to race director Heidi Quinn about her newly launched company, Black Wolf Endurance, expanding the sport to more individuals across the state, and what is so special about runners and racing in Matsu. That's just ahead on Outdoor Explorer.
Hi, I'm Avery Elfelt, a reporter with the Alaska Desk. That's a joint reporting effort from Alaska Public Media, KHNS, where I work in Haines, and other public radio stations in Anchorage, Fairbanks, and the Aleutians. It allows us to connect you with the issues happening in communities all across the state. You can hear our stories during the morning news, on Alaska News Nightly, or online at alaskapublic.org. The Alaska Desk is only possible with the support of grants and listeners like you. Thank you.
This is Outdoor Explorer. I'm your host, Amy Bouchatz, and today I'm speaking with runner and race director Heidi Quinn about all things running in and around Matsu. Heidi, welcome to Outdoor Explorer.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
So one of the fun things about talking about exploring and heading outdoors in Alaska overall, but also in Matsu specifically, is how often I get to bring listeners into a conversation like this one with someone I know and explore with Mike in my community. You know, you and I do stuff together, we run places. So you're certainly one of those. And so I'm really excited to get to talk to you today and bring our listeners in on that.
Awesome. I'm super excited to be here. Yeah, we have lots of fun stories about running and being outdoors. So
yes,
some good stuff. And
yeah, and I am often your guinea pig when it comes to exploring and running and doing these races. So it's going to be really fun to talk about your new running company, Black Wolf Endurance, and the different events you have coming up in your running journey. So let's get after it. Okay.
Yes.
So like I said, we're going to talk about running and Alaska and something that your particular interest, rather expert in, which is ultra running in Alaska. When I say that, you're also an ultra runner yourself, but I mean that you're an expert because you direct and organize some very successful ultra running races for our community. First under the Active Events brand, but now newly under your own racing company, Black Wolf Endurance. Yeah.
Yes, that is true. That's very nice of you to call me an expert. I still feel like a baby in this world of ultra running, especially in a community like this where, you know, people have been doing these races for so much longer than before I was even here. So it's exciting to be in this space now and be able to kind of provide some of those events. So,
yeah, well, let's talk about that. Tell us a little bit about your background. How long have you and I known each other in the Matsu community?
Well, we met at the running club, right?
Okay.
So yeah. That has to be 9 or so years now.
Yeah.
So because okay. We've been up here, we're coming up on 11 years. So I moved up from the Willamette Valley in Oregon. And that was like March of 15. I joined the running club in 16 or 17. And I think you were up here right around then as well. So
It's been. Yeah. So that's the Matsu Running Club.
Correct.
Which people, if you've been around the Valley or running scene in Alaska for a long time, might have known as the Matsu Women's Running Club.
The Valley Women's
Running Club. I'm sorry, the Valley Women's Running Club. That predates me.
Right.
But it went co-ed about, I don't know, a
dozen-ish years
when
ago.
When I was the president, yeah.
Okay, there you go.
For that, yeah.
Now it's the Matsu Running Club. Okay, so you moved up from Oregon. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so I moved up from Oregon, and I had had a massage therapy practice in Oregon. So I had been doing that for probably 15 years or so. And then when we moved up here, I told my husband that I was not going to work anymore. You know, I wanted to Deacon, my son was 7 at the time. And so I wanted to just be home and with him. And that didn't last long because I go stir crazy. You know, some people will just start, we got to be doing things at all times. So then I kind of connected with the school district, and I was kind of working as a substitute teacher while Deacon was kind of through elementary school. Then once he hit middle school, I was not a super fan of working in middle schools. So then I reopened a massage practice in Palmer for a very brief time, because then COVID came and kind of killed that industry for a hot minute. And so at that time, I went back to school online at the University of Alaska Fairbanks and pursued my degree in sport and recreation business management. And so with kind of the understanding of I wanted to be outside, I loved running, I loved trails, I wanted to figure out how I could make that into a business and do races. And so that was kind of the catalyst for pushing me to where I am now. So
have you always been a runner?
I have not always been a runner. I was a collegiate volleyball player. I hated running because, you know, running it, when you're doing any other sport besides running, you know, running is like a punishment for those sports. So it's not something that you're like, let's run. And so I really probably didn't start running until probably after I had Deacon, like a year or so after I had him. So, you know, he's 18 now, so it feels like I've been a runner for a long time now, but I didn't grow up doing cross country or, you know, anything that our kids get to do now. So.
Yeah. 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 And boy, do they ever.
Yeah. All over. Yeah.
All over the place. So when you moved up here and I met you in the Matsu Running Club, mm-hmm. we were both on the board there. Yep. I was on the board for about a year. I helped with like public affairs stuff.
Yeah.
What was your role on the board when we met?
So I was first on the board. I came on as the board secretary. So I was the secretary for a year. And then after that first year was done, they were in need of a president. The president was leaving. And I think it was just a matter of nobody else was volunteering. And so I said, well, yeah, I'll do it. So a year as a secretary, and then I moved into being a president for the board. And then I served there for 5 terms as the president.
Right. That's a lot. Yeah. But I asked because when you and I met, you were the secretary.
Right.
And if I recall correctly, they needed help with a 5K.
Right.
And that was your first race you ever directed, right?
Yep. Yep. That was what did they call that? Who let the runners out? Yeah.
Who let the girls out?
And then it kind of morphed into who let the runners out. But yes, so that was the very first 5K that I directed. I'm so glad you remember that. That feels like I sometimes forget about that. Yeah.
Okay. I remember it because I remember sitting in this meeting thinking, oh God, I'm going to get stuck directing this race and I really don't want to do it.
Right.
And being so relieved when you volunteered. And it's such a good, you know, in context is all things, because now as somebody, you have a company that does this, we're going to talk about your races today, but you sat there and I remember very clearly you saying with some sort of trepidation in your voice as well, I've never directed a race before, but I guess I could give it a try.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. So how did your very first race that you directed go?
Well, that race was super fun. And we had a lot of support from the running club. I think our board as a whole then was just, you know, some great people that were excited to be there. I think you're always Always some nerves about like a first event going. I hope people will show up. And there's a lot of things I think looking back on it, there's so many things that I didn't know. I mean, I just how could you know if you've never done it before, as far as things people would have questions about or complain about, or things that you needed to make sure were in order. So I know, I mean, I do remember being very like stressed just that night or the couple of days before. Just your brain kind of goes, okay, do I have everything? Did I check this box? Did I check that box? And you're always going to forget something. And so I think that's like any type of directing an event like that is just it's kind of just chaos management. Like something's going to go wrong and something's going to be not right, or somebody's going to be upset about something. And so it's really about how you're managing that. And I think thankfully with the board and the group of people we had, it was all it all came together as it should. So I mean, I don't remember any big things that like went wrong. So I think at the end of the day, for most of it as a race director, once you get all the runners off the start line, that's when you take a breath, and then you're like, okay, well, they're out there now, so Godspeed. But it's like
You're with
there's so much to just getting people off the starting line, and then everything kind of calms for a minute. But yeah, so but I remember directing the first Backyard Ultra, which is a totally different, and so we can chat. But anyway, that was when I started working with Active Souls, and so that was kind of the first race that I directed with them. And I was in tears at race morning because it was like torrential downpour the morning of the race. And I just remember driving out there thinking, I don't think anyone's gonna come. I mean, I really truly was like, I think I'm gonna get there and maybe five people will be there. And I've done all this work and I was so excited about it. And everybody showed up, and it was just like, I don't know, it was just such a cool thing for me going into it, thinking all of the fear and thinking no one would want to do it, and people wouldn't come, and people would be upset about the rain. And I just kind of had all of these negative things going into it. And then people came and they laughed and they had fun and they partied, and it was awesome. So
You're listening to Alaska Public Media and Outdoor Explorer. I'm your host, Amy Bouchatz, and I'm speaking with Heidi Quinn. She is the founder and owner of Black Wolf Endurance, a new running race company here in Mat-Su. And we're talking about running in Alaska, ultra running, Mat-Su running, all things running and recreating outside on our streets and trails, mostly in the valley. My memory of your first 5K that you directed was mostly I went out way too fast, which for our non-runners listening to this is when you're really excited to run and you think that you're going to set a land speed record. You might start running faster than you intended, and then you sort of die at the end,
Yeah.
and maybe you are now walking. I'm not sure I walked, but I definitely died. But I remembered that it went really well. And I remember thinking how impressed I was that somebody could pull this off, and so glad that I didn't have to be that person. But
Awesome.
I think I have attended most of your races, or raced, or come and spectated at the least most of your races, since then. And you do way less 5Ks, so that sort of takes away that problem for me.
Yeah, we moved quickly out of those.
Most of what you do is ultra distance or something akin to ultra, in that it is very challenging. So before we talk about ultra race directing and running in sort of the more challenging realm, can we define what ultra is for folks? How do you define that?
Yeah, well, I mean, in the cleanest sense of the word, like an ultra run is anything that's longer than a marathon distance. So anything longer than 26.2 miles is technically an ultra race. I think, kind of by means of social media or just whatever, I think a lot of people end up thinking like, oh, I ran a trail, and so a trail is an ultra, and they're like, and so they've kind of become similar in meaning as far as like what people just look at and they go, oh, it's a trail, it must be an ultra. And that's not the case. So ultra is like definitely like distance only. So the shortest ultra race would be a 50K, which is 31 miles. And, you know, we just keep seeing the longer distances. You know, it was 100 mile was kind of the pinnacle of ultra. Well, now it's 200, and then Cocodona came and that's 250. And now Candace is doing 300 mile races. So the end is not, they just keep getting longer and longer, which is exciting. But, you know, then so often we kind of fall into that, like, oh, I just ran a 50 mile, because you feel like you're still in the baby world of ultras. But, you know, 50 yeah. miles is a significant distance. So,
but let's level set here, because you're talking about, you know, these races, these accepted races getting longer. And you've referenced a couple of races that are in the lower 48 that are 200 and plus. And, you know, up here in Alaska, we're kicking it at 350 for the Iditarod Trail Invitational.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So long, long distances in very like harsh conditions.
Right.
Are not new
no.
in Alaska.
No, not at all. Exactly. And I think that's, I mean, that's a great point, is that there's been so much, like I was saying, you know, I feel kind of fresh coming into this Alaska world of trail and ultra, because these races have been historically going on for many, many years with, you know, huge accomplishments and like great feats from the athletes. And so little of that is known down in the lower 48. And so I think that it's kind of the goal with, you know, Black Wolf Endurance and how we're getting word out about, you know, Alaska as, and itself and the races that we're putting on here, and not just for our races, but also, you know, look at what other races are doing and look at what these other athletes up here are doing,
right.
because it's really, really impressive. And yeah. so I think people need to know about that.
Yeah. And I should say that when I refer to the Iditarod Trail Invitational, which is also known as the ITI,
yeah.
I said 350. That's the short
one. That's the short one. Yeah.
I think they have a 100
one. Yeah.
They have a shorter one now.
Right.
That they just recently added, shorter than 350. But
right.
historically, the 350 is the
intro.
You quit early.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's
yeah.
the intro.
Yeah.
Which is nothing to sneeze at,
yeah,
right?
No.
Like 350 is in the winter is a at any time of year is a tremendous
feat.
Yeah. mileage,
yes.
right?
Yeah.
So to say like that's the short version
right.
is like very flip,
yeah,
because it's not,
right?
You know, but
yeah, yeah.
in the context of that race, which goes from Kinnick Lake
right.
to Nome,
yeah, yeah.
Good luck to you,
right?
You know?
Best of all. I love hearing the stories. I.
Yeah, and there are people who complete it. I mean, it's
totally.
Not something that nobody does, and it's just like, oh, I tried.
Yeah.
People actually complete this race.
Right.
On foot.
On foot.
Ski
yeah.
or bike.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Several people.
So,
yeah.
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 Yeah. Actual human beings.
Yeah. Well, and I think, you know, one of the funniest things when I came up from Oregon, I remember, like, and I ran pretty primarily like road races in Oregon. That's
mm-hmm.
kind of how I started. And now, of course, it's so sad because there's so many beautiful like trail and ultra races down there. So I'm going back, you know, kind of to my home area going, why didn't I do these when I was here? But anyway, when I first came up to Alaska, one of the things that I thought was just like, I don't know how people run here. You know, there's bears, there's wildlife, there's mountains, like what are, and I was worried that I wasn't going to be able to find runners, which now in hindsight is so funny because there's so many of us, you know, it's a huge community of runners up here. And so just kind
yeah.
of that naivete of like, you know, being new to the state and going, do people run here? Like, obviously.
What do we call, do we have a term for these events that are not a 50K distance, but the suffering is, you know, it's
yeah,
50K worth of suffering in a shorter distance.
Yeah, I wish there was like a fun name for them. I mean, really, it just kind of falls into that sub-ultra category, which is kind of what the like trail non-ultra is. You know, we're kind of like in
right.
kind of all the running lingo that has just kind of become known as like a sub-ultra. And so where you're still out on the trail, but maybe it's a 10-mile or a half marathon or, you know, something shorter, but you're still getting that trail suffering, you know, where it's not just a smooth,
we're really selling
breezy.
It
yeah yeah. So
but that's, I mean, the reason I asked that is because one of the hallmarks of a ultra distance race is the challenge,
right?
Right. And here in Alaska, many of our shorter races because of how remote they are, mm-hmm. because they are not what in the running world we call supported, right? Like there's no on-trail snack crew.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, you go to lower 48 races, you got somebody every few miles handing you stuff.
Right.
You don't have to carry your own stuff. And in Alaska, that is almost never the case. Mm-hmm. Unless you're doing a loop race where you're back in a parking lot every 4 miles,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So one of the hallmarks of that is how difficult it is. And it feels like an ultra because it's so hard,
yeah.
but you're not in that category because you haven't done the mileage.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. So no, I wish that there was just like a fun, you know, like thing that we could just call that. But I think at this point we're just kind of referring to that as like a sub ultra, you know, which kind of feels lame in a way. Like it should be something yeah. else. We need to get like a creative wordsmith on this and come up.
Yeah. If anyone's listening has ideas, let me know.
Yeah.
And you are listening to Outdoor Explorer on Alaska Public Media. I'm your host, Amy Bouchatz, and I'm talking to Heidi Quinn about ultra running in Alaska and her ultra running company here in the Matsu Valley called Black Wolf Endurance. Okay. So now that we've talked about what it is, what makes it different than your typical Skinny Raven half marathon or a race with which people in, you know, might be more familiar because it's been around for a long time.
Yeah.
What makes what you're doing different than that and different than we've already talked about ITI, which mm-hmm. is like super, super long. So different than that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think kind of the main goal that I always have when I set about kind of creating a course or introducing a race is like, how can I make this like super challenging, where people are going to feel out of their comfort zone. They're going to have to, you know, find some grit, find some, you know, willpower, but also in a manner that like people can still try it and do it safely, and where we do have some assistance or some aid. So whether that's like a loop course or, you know, we have strategic aid stations, or people can choose a different distance where they can still be out and kind of get their feet wet, really, you know, on like a first trail run. I just think trail running is so therapeutic. It's so good for your mind and body, and the community of people are so great. So I want more people to come out and experience that. And it can be super intimidating. And so, so even like the kind of like the craziest races I can come up with, if I can put kind of a division or a distance or something in there that is like, not like maybe beginner friendly or, you know, kind of an introduction to that where people can just get a taste of it. Cause we all know like it's, you know, very easy to just get a taste of it and then go, oh, I could do this. I bet I could also do X, Y, and Z. And then you end up running ridiculous mileage. So,
correct.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think it's a little, so it is a little different in like a Skinny Raven or a road 5K or a, you know, something, mainly because we're not on road. Like I try and make them, I mean, we do one road race, which is the Valley Thaw Out races, which I love to do that, but that's the only road race that I want to do in the Valley. So everything yeah. else is on trail and getting people to kind of push their limits. So.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, strikes me like it is really easy to create something just for the sake of suffering. Like you can,
yeah.
you can make something really hard that no one can do, or really hard that it could be actually dangerous.
Right.
Or really hard that people are going to be do and be like, why did I ever do that? And I never want to do anything like this again. Cause it just felt so bad to your nervous system and just like all of the ways, and maybe even again, dangerous. Mm-hmm. And then there's like the easy button. So how do you thread the needle on that? How do you create something that's like challenging without being like prohibitively difficult?
Yeah. That's a great question. I think, you know, we have the opportunity to do multiple different races. So like some of them are really challenging, you know, Veins of Gold is one of the more technical challenging mountain races, you know.
And what, tell us what that
is. So Veins of Gold. Yeah. So Veins of Gold it's in the Alaska Grand Prix mountain racing series. And so that starts at Government Peak, and the runners go up Gov Peak, and then Kind of hit the ridgeline over towards Bald, April Bowl, and then drop down to Summit Lake and finish at Hatcher Pass. But it's a very technical course. The weather can be atrocious up there. I mean, you can kind of get into situations where you have zero visibility. And so we work with Alaska Mountain Rescue and some other safety groups to kind of ensure that people are safe up there. And so again, where we have put people and procedures and things in place where it can be done safely and where people can come and try something challenging safely. But there is also an aspect of it where you have to say, look, you have to be comfortable in this environment. And if you're not, this probably isn't the race for you. But we also have X, Y, and Z races that might be for you. And so I think we try and, as a company, we try and have multiple different levels of races where people can try. Like, and so it doesn't mean that, you know, just because you're not ready for maybe this race yet, like try this one first, you know, get a feel for it, get comfortable with it. And then maybe build your way up to some of these more challenging ones.
Right. Is it like a gateway?
It's like a gateway. Yeah.
Yeah. Because nobody is thinking that's, well, someone might think that this is a good idea. And let me tell you, you should probably not do this. But to have your first winter cold weather run ever being go up to Susitna,
right,
and doing the Susitna 100, which is a 100-mile race,
yep,
in the middle of winter,
yep,
on most like on snow machining and mushing trails, mm-hmm, in the upper Susitna Valley.
Yeah.
Very, very challenging, very, very cold. Has some stops along the way, but largely, and I mean, you have a sled, you need to have a, yeah, sleeping bag with you, like very,
yes,
austere environment. We're not saying like that's your entryway.
Correct.
That might be your destination someday,
yeah,
but maybe you should learn how to run outside in the wintertime first. And that having an event to work towards that, at least psychologically, mm-hmm, is a good on-ramp,
right,
to getting to maybe wanting to do that. Or maybe like me, I have no interest in running,
yeah,
the Susitna 100.
Yeah.
And the reason I learned that was by running shorter distance, very cold weather races,
right,
where I was like, you know what? Like, I love running. I do not love running in this particular environment.
Yeah.
I just don't like it.
Yeah.
That's okay.
And that's fine. Yeah. And that's great. But you have to know that before you get yourself into a position where you're then kind of stuck out there, or it really becomes, you know, I think experience is the key to a lot of these things. And so as we see kind of this ultra running kind of phenomenon really grow, where people are like choosing to sign up for races and their first time at things, and being able to provide a kind of an opportunity for people to try those in a safe and short distance. That's exciting to me as well.
You're listening to Outdoor Explorer on Alaska Public Media. I'm your host, Amy Bouchatz, and I'm in Mat-Su talking to Heidi Quinn about the fascinating and inspiring world of ultra running and race directing in Alaska. After this break, we will continue our conversation with Heidi.
You're listening to Outdoor Explorer on Alaska Public Media. Find the show anytime, wherever you get your podcasts, or connect with us online at alaskapublic.org.
Welcome back to Outdoor Explorer on Alaska Public Media. I'm your host, Amy Bouchatz, and I am talking to Black Wolf Endurance founder and race director Heidi Quinn about running and ultra races in Alaska. Heidi, you personally have done ultra. So talk us about what you have done. What's your favorite Alaska race, and what's your favorite race maybe outside?
Oh, yeah. So I've done a couple. I think one of my favorite Alaska ultra races is Res Pass, the 50 mile. I have not attempted the 100 mile. I don't know that I want to, but the 50 mile of Res Pass is one of my favorite races. It's a very, like what we call a fat ass style race. So like not supported. There's, you know, some friends out there every now and then, but you're mostly, you go from Cooper Landing in the Kenai Peninsula over to Hope. And it's beautiful. So that's one of my favorite ones. I've also done the JFK 50 mile over on the East Coast. Is just a very cool historic run. I did not love the kind of 30 miles of bike path. But you know, the part before that in the woods was cool. But it's a very fun race. And then the Denali 100K is one of my favorites. And so that I am actually co-directing this year with the race director. So that's up there on the Denali Highway. And yeah, just a
In the
beautiful
summer,
in the
in the
summer. It's on
summer.
summer solstice. Yeah, I should clarify that. There is talks about him trying to do a winter one up there. We'll see. But yeah, so that one, it's on summer solstice every year. There's a 135, 100K, and then a new 50K distance. And that's just a really kind of very uniquely Alaskan race.
And it's over, it starts at night, right?
It
It's an overnight
the
race.
100K starts at night. Yeah, the 135 they start in the morning, but then the 100K starts at like 6 o'clock at night. So you kind of get to run through that night that doesn't really get dark, and it's beautiful.
Yeah. What do you love about race directing and what do you not like?
I love finish lines. I really like race directing is it's one of those things where there's a lot of stress and chaos and all of that, like I was saying, kind of just getting people to the start line. And then it's really, I find so much joy in seeing people cross the finish line. I am not usually like a very emotional person, but I have cried at multiple finish lines, just, seeing people come through and accomplish their goals. And a lot of times I don't even like really know who's on the course, like personally, you see their names and you're like, okay, this is bib number, whatever. And it's not really until like after the race and you start seeing stuff on social media or people posting their stories. And so that piece of it, I really love, kind of the stories of why people came to run, what their goals were, what they had to work through to get there. So I love the stories. I love being a part of that and being able to provide an opportunity for people to, have a goal and meet those goals. I think that's a really cool part of it for me. What
Yeah. Okay. So what do you not
do I
like?
not like? Let's see.
This is your opportunity to air some grievances.
I'm
Go
like,
ahead.
I gotta like, I'm not sure what I can say here. I still got registrations that need to be filled. No, it can be very chaotic. So there seems to be kind of a gap between what participants like expect from a race and then kind of what their, I don't know, maybe the expectation. So is in kind of trying to figure out what that is and please the people, right? Like you're always kind of trying to figure out like what do the people want? Do they want another shirt? Do they want like kind of the swag and the medals and the what are people giving? And you're trying to do that in kind of a environmental conscious way where you're like, how many more, like what are we doing with these t-shirts and where are these medals going? Like, are we all doing this still or are we, so trying to figure out some of that and really trying to make sure you're adding value to the race for a runner. I think that is hard for me. And it's probably one of the things that I find that I dislike the most is kind of this like trying to people please, and you can't please everybody. And
Yeah.
so that part is I do find kind of taxing.
Yeah.
And then answering 100 emails that where the information's already been there. So that can be a little frustrating. It's a running joke. I hope people know that I'm joking, but read your emails.
Running is really, I mean, any physical activity is, this is true in triathlon, this is true in any of these races, is such a personal experience. And you can craft the setting for that experience, and it's still going to be a personal experience. And that's everything from how I feel that day, which no one, I mean, frankly, not even I have control over sometimes, right? To the weather, okay, which no one has control over. I wish it were so, but it's not. To, I mean, even just, you and I know each other well enough to know my blood sugar, right? Like, right? And these are not things that you control, but are very impactful to how I feel about my race experience. You can design the world's most perfect race setting and still not, so some people are going to walk out of that with a maybe even a quote unquote bad experience because of things that were not in the race director's control.
For sure. And that's such a good point too, is that, I mean, no race director wants to see somebody in tears at the finish line or in the middle of the course, just, you know, fighting to survive. Like, no, none of us want to see that. And, but you're right. Like, a lot of that is out of our control. And so I think kind of being a personality that's like, I want to fix it. You know, I want this to work for you. I want this to be a good experience. Sometimes kind of wrestling with that, going, it's not going to be like that for everybody. And that's not on you. So,
yeah. And Alaska is going to be out there Alaskaing.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So, so I do have a heart. I do have some sympathy for people. So even, even though I put together these crazy races and say, go have fun, it's not my problem. I do take a lot of that to heart and want people to have good experiences.
I know you spend a lot of time communicating with race directors in the lower 48. So I'm wondering how do you navigate the Alaska's going to be Alaska, with, and then communicate that to them, you know, like, listen, guys, I realize that we all have challenges, but yours aren't, you know, bears or moose on the course, right? So like, how do you balance that? And then dealing with participants, with those, you know, unknowns that are really just about Alaska.
Right. You know. Yeah. Yeah. Well, fortunately, I have been able to kind of team up with this, like, a mentor, race directing mentorship group. And Dale Garland, the director of Hard Rack, is kind of the leader.
Which
of
is
that.
A very rugged race.
Very rugged race in Colorado. And they have a lot of different issues as well. But in that, there's also a race director from Canada. And so him and I have kind of had similar, you know, he had a great, you know, bear story, you know, with the parks and participants this year. And so I was like, oh, well, we haven't had one of those. So, but yeah, it is different, like, communicating kind of the nature of what we need up here for our races, because they're so remote. But there are, you know, several races also in the lower 48 that have some of those too. But yeah, like, working with different, you know, apps or technology or people that come to you and they're like, hey, there's this great thing and you can use this for your races. And it's like, not our races. Thanks though. You know, because it just doesn't, it doesn't work, or we're so remote that we don't have kind of the connectivity that we need. Or even like some of the courses that I am trying to build, and people are like, well, you could just put an aid station here, and there. And it's like, no, we can't. Like, there's no road, like, there's no accessibility. Like, we can't, that's not an option. Right. So it is kind of difficult to kind of communicate, like, the nature of Alaska. And I think a lot of times in those types of groups or discussion groups, they just kind of go, well, you'll figure it out. You know, like, you just get kind of like tossed.
Yeah.
Like, that's Alaska, you know.
Good luck with your Alaska
good
problems.
Good luck with that. Yeah. Yeah. But I do think, I mean, what's exciting about being a part of those groups is also really just kind of the recognition that, like, look, there's a lot going on up here. Not just with our, you know, the Black Wolf endurance races, but, you know, Skinny Raven's doing a ton of stuff. Nathan by North by Northwest, he's got some great relays. Like, there's a lot of things going on race wise, but people just have Mount Marathon. You know, as soon as they hear Alaska, they go, do you direct Mount Marathon? And I go, no, that's Matthias. You know, he does a great job, but, like, there's more.
Right.
So I think that is, again, kind of our goal is, you know, we're doing some cool stuff up here and we want people to come see that.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I think about, like, we kind of talked earlier about the challenges for your participants and how this can be an entry into loving to run on trail and participate in Alaska, you know, and enjoy Alaska that way. But, like, these are not just wait, like with Mount Marathon. One of the rules of Mount Marathon is you may not race on race day unless you have been to the top of the mountain first.
Yeah.
Right. And so you mentioned your race, Veins of Gold, earlier. If I'm not mistaken, you all, like, you are asking people to certify that they have actually done the course.
Right.
Before they get out there. And so there's really is a balance there of between, like, this can be an on-ramp for you, but also you've got to be prepared.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. And especially as we are seeing people come up from the lower 48 and, you know, and so that is something that, you know, and I'm happy to, like, email back and forth with them because, you know, I get, you know, I mean, when you hear about Alaska, your first thought is bears and wildlife and what am I doing and that sort of thing. So, so we try to, you know, kind of work with them too, as far as, like, you know, I'll have extra bear spray at the start line that they can, you know, because they can't travel with it, or, you know, try and prepare them as much as we can. And working with the state parks too, just, you know, they've got some great safety videos that I'm able to just kind of forward to them and give them a little like glimpse of, you know, what could potentially. And so there is kind of that, you don't want people, you want people to come up and run. You don't want them to come up and be afraid of Alaska.
How have you seen running and racing change in Alaska since you started doing this, and maybe just also like in the Mat-Su specifically?
Yeah,
because we've had races here, but not quite as many as we do now.
Yeah.
So how have you seen it changed?
Yeah, I think, you know, again, with the whole industry, it's grown. I think we've had an influx of just individuals moving to the Valley. So I think that has helped a ton as well. Like we just have more people here. And a lot of those people want to be outside and they want to be running. I would say what kind of used to be the race norm for the Valley was some of these smaller like community runs or 5Ks or, you know, just getting people out. And then, you know, we've had some of the mountain races, Crazy Lazy and Matt Peak, and those have been around for a while. And so I think it was, there hasn't really been a kind of moderate, which I would maybe say, like, we kind of fill that as far as, I don't, no one would probably say my races are moderate, but I think that we are.
Well, they're not the Matt Peak Challenge. I mean,
they're not the Matt Peak Challenge. Yeah.
To your point, right? Like, the Matt Peak Challenge is a great example of a race that you would not do if you were new to trail running or mountain running.
Correct. Yeah.
So, yes.
So you've kind of had the
context is king.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you kind of have like the extreme on both ends, you know, where you're like community runs and then this. And so I think we have been able to fill that gap as far as like giving people other challenging options, you know, where you're still, you know, pushing yourself and, you know, having a goal to chase. And, but yeah, I think I've seen more like running groups being formed too. Like we talked about the Mat-Su Running Club, they've been around for a while, but I know there's some other smaller pockets of, you know, Thursday night run groups or, you know, different gyms or people that are, kind of starting their own. There's one in Wasilla, you know, the Happy Run, and then there's another weekly one. And so I think as a whole, like people, and I don't know if that is, I think there's multiple things. I think running as a whole is growing. I think COVID kicked a lot of people outside. I think, you know, the population as a whole has grown. And so runners have come up from, you know, other locations that are here now looking for things to do. So, yeah, I mean, I think growth is kind of the overarching, like, that's what's happening. And,
yeah.
And so then being able to go, what can, if this is growing so much, what can we, how do we support that growth? And what are we putting out there for people to have that's new and fun? And, you know, it can get kind of tiring to just be like, well, this is my calendar again. You know, I mean, I notice like my calendars are like, well, and then in July we do this. And then in August we do that. And they can kind of become repetitive, which is not bad, but it's fun to have new things.
Yeah. You're listening to Outdoor Explorer on Alaska Public Media. I'm your host, Amy Bouchatz, and I'm talking to Heidi Quinn about running in Mat-Su and her company, Black Wolf Endurance, and upcoming races and ultra running in Alaska, all things running. Speaking of repetitive, some of us like that, Heidi.
That's true. We know.
So I enjoy a loop race very much, but you do a bunch of these. So tell us a little bit about what compels you to put on races where the people do the same thing over and over again, other than the fact that, you know, I'll show up. And what is special maybe about that, if only so the people don't think I'm quite as crazy as I might be. Go ahead.
I think there is something special about a loop course. I think it's the accessibility to aid, right? Like we were talking about, you know, if you're doing 50 miles on a long course and you don't have an aid station, like you have to put all of that on your back and run with that and make sure you've calculated how much food you need for how much time you're going to be out there. If you're doing a loop course, it's like, okay, well, I can do 4 miles with X, you know, and then I'll come back and refuel and do it again. And I think there is also something with kind of the being able to shut your brain off for a loop. Because once you do it so many times, it just kind of becomes like rote memory. And so you don't have to think as much. Whereas if you're doing kind of a point to point race, every step is something new. And you're like, where's that? And where am I putting my foot? And when you do a loop course, you're like, okay, I know I have this hill, and then I got to jump over this water, and then I got to do the, and so it becomes kind of, you get a little easier into that kind of runner's flow of.
Some people would call that boring, but
some
I
people
call
would
it
call
awesome.
That boring. Yeah, there is there is those people.
Don't knock it till you try it.
Yeah. So I think kind of the combination between those couple things that can be, and honestly, it's a really good way to train for other harder races because it is boring, if you will, because no matter where you're at, if you're doing a long distance, it's mental, right? Like we all know, I mean, your body will be able to, if you've trained it well enough, you're going to be able to stay upright. You're going to be able to keep moving, but it's usually your brain that goes. And so sometimes those monotonous loop courses are just really good mental training, for bigger, harder things.
Yeah. I mean, the time you tell me if you can relate to this, but the times that I have quit things is there have been a couple of times where the body was no longer willing, right? Maybe I came into the race like I'd been sick. That happened not long ago. I just like physically could not keep up anymore.
Yeah.
But usually I just don't want to.
Like
I may not say that on the day.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
But the fact of the matter is I am just mentally done.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. It happens. Yeah.
And it's okay.
And it's okay. Yeah. And it's okay. And then, you know, what is, but, and I will say though, that is the catch with the loop course is that it's easier for you to stop when you first hit that point. Cause you're like, well, my car's right there. Whereas if you were out on a course, you'd be like, well, I have 20 miles still till I can get to my car. So I better suck it up and, you know, figure something out. So,
well, yeah, I mean, due to lack of other options, right?
Yeah, and
I am, to be clear, a very mediocre runner, right? But I'm willing to try crazy bananas things.
Crazy thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the times that I have quit have certainly been at my car.
Right.
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 In fact, I can think of one time that I ever quit that was on course. It was a winter race in Anchorage and I could call an Uber.
Yes. I remember.
Yeah. And that was a situation where the body was
you
no
were
longer
very
willing.
Cold.
Like,
yeah.
I was extremely cold. Right.
Yeah.
But also I was done.
Right. Yeah.
It's a combination.
Have a phone.
Because
no
I was
call.
So cold. Yeah. I was done. Right.
Yeah. It was fun. Yeah.
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 But I do, I mean, to your point, like if people are wanting to get into this,
yeah,
a loop race is a good way to do it because you can try, you can tackle a very long distance.
Yep.
While having this safety net, really,
right. Yeah.
Of being back wherever you started every 20, 40, 50 minutes.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
I love
it. Yeah. And the Backyard Ultra is like a perfect one for that. And we've had like an influx of teenagers coming out to do that. And I don't usually like, I mean, I think kids should be running for sure. I don't know that they need to be doing like super big, hard things like really young, but the, you know, the backyard's a great place for that. And how many of them come back and go, I didn't know I could run this far, but because they were given the opportunity to do that in a safe environment and to just go, well, I could probably do four more or, you know, one more or whatever. And I love that. I love seeing people with that, you know, look of like, I had no idea, you know, and you're like, of course you can. So that's super cool about
absolutely.
That.
Mm-hmm. So you have this new race company that we've been talking about off and on. You know, you love putting on races and helping people find glory and suffering all at the same time. You are trying to start some races this year to fill some holes in the calendar where we don't necessarily have events going on already, in addition to the events that you were doing, that you've done for a while now, but under a different company. But they'll be familiar to people like Fiends of Gold and like the Backyard Ultra. So what do you have coming up this year that's new? You and I are talking in December. People won't hear this until January. When that happens, your newest race will have already happened, and I will have hopefully done it and not suffered too many things. And that is a sort of a loop-ish course right. in our Crevasse Moraine Recreation Area here. But what do you have coming up after that?
Yeah, so the next new one is in March. And so we're going to do that out at Aklutna Lake. So it'll be on the Lakeside Trail. We have a 10-mile and a 20-mile option. So just a pretty, you know, clear out and back, you know, for the 10 mile, you turn around at 5 miles, for the 20, you turn around at 10 miles. And so that one, we're super excited about that. I know people have been wanting to do a race out there. So we're thankful that the state parks, we work with them to kind of get that permit going. And I am not a big fan of winter races because no matter what time of year, if you're race directing, a lot of times you're just sitting freezing. So it was a hard sell for me to be like, let's
I mean, you're freezing running too.
So, but I mean, people have been asking for another winter race. We have some awesome winter races, which is again, like I feel like there's kind of a need for like maybe that sub ultra distance. Like we have some super cool, like long distance ultra, you know, like you were talking about Little Sioux, there's the Homer Epic, there's, you know, White Mountains. I mean, there's a bunch. So I didn't feel like I needed to like go do a big long distance, but I think this one, this 10, 20 mile, it just kind of fits that, where people can just get out, you know, and I mean, March is still basically winter up here. It's, you know, brighter, but it's still cold.
Well, is that race support? I mean, we talked a little bit about how most races here are not supported, but that is an out and back trail that you can access on ATV.
Correct.
If you need to.
So we will have some support at those turnaround points. So kind of at the 5 mile and then the 10 mile, so we'll have, you know, a little bit of water and snacks and, you know, services if somebody needs something. So,
yeah. That sounds like a good opportunity for people who want to test that distance and maybe not like the most ideal conditions, but still in a way that feels safe. Because, I mean, that's the other thing, right? Like it's your personal ability to feel safe in different conditions.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And having to navigate that too. I mean, who knows what the trail will look like in March. It could be super icy. It could be, I mean, it will be probably be icy and muddy and all of the things. And so you might have to, you know, go, do I want to stay on this trail? Do I want to pop up on the upper, you know? And so we'll have some course variations, you know, allowable for like what, you know, what we're actually dealing with. So, so we have that one is our new winter one. And then, like I mentioned briefly earlier, Black Wolf is kind of co-directing the Denali Ultra. So this is the first year that we're coming on board to help out with that. And that is, again, it's kind of, it's not unsupported, but it's a little bit like Badwater, you know, if anyone's familiar with that, where like you have to have a crew, you have to have kind of your own, you know, mobile support station. There are some areas where there is support, but it's not like fully staffed aid stations anywhere. And so I'm kind of working to see if we can remedy that. Like I would love for people, it's not going to be this year. You still have to have a crew this year, but I would love for, you know, some of the shorter distances to move into like where, you know, you can come and be supported by the race. And because I think that can kind of be a little bit of a complex thing for people trying to pull together a bunch of people that want to go drive the highway while they. So we have that one. And then we are working with Ski Talk to put on a mountain running kind of weekend festival, which will be the last weekend in August this year. They have built a new kind of trail loop, which is a 7 mile kind of ridge race from Ski Talk. So we're going to have a vertical race, Hatcher Pass. I'm sorry. Yes. Ski Talk, the ski area in Hatcher Pass. So we're going to have a vertical race. We'll have the 7 mile race. And then we're working with Josh Taylor, who is part of the Sky Running team. He's building a sky running course that we're hoping to certify with the International Sky Running Foundation and include that in the weekend too. So there's some big things happening in that weekend. And so we'll try and do like some camping and some music, and it'll just be kind of like a big, you know, end to the mountain running season.
I'm kind of laughing to myself because you said the vertical race, the sky running race, and then the 7 mile race, but all of them, Heidi, will be uphill.
All of them will be uphill. All of them. Yes.
Do not be deceived, all friends and countrymen.
Yeah. I am trying to kind of navigate how we can do like a lower, you know, from Ski Talk over to GovPeak. I have to, you know, talk to the right people about that kind of trail, but we'll see. That's a future.
Also in part uphill.
In part uphill. There are no non-hills in Alaska. Do you know? Like, I know. It's, there are no non-hill. Everything is a hill.
I mean, and that's the thing, right, of too, about running in Anchorage. Like, yeah, everything's on a hill. If you end on the park strip, you are ending, after running, up a hill.
Up a hill.
Yeah. If you do Run Fest, you are coming from the coastal trail.
Right.
And then you are running up a hill.
Yeah.
To the downtown corridor.
Yeah. And I think that's the note to the lower 48, right? Like, we don't have elevate, you know, like, we don't sit at elevation, but I promise you, like, we do hills.
So many hills.
So many hills.
Even the Valley Thaw Out, which you mentioned earlier, which is, I mean, all things considered, fairly flat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Has, you know, a real big hill in the beginning. Yes. But it is, that is a very beautiful race for, I mean.
Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned that. So speaking of new, so we're adding, this is the first year that we're adding a marathon to that distance. Mm. So the Valley will have a marathon again. And so that's really exciting. And so we've got a road marathon. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and I have been asked if it's a Boston qualifier, and not yet. That is a whole other process that takes a
with
lot.
A hill, guys. Don't forget
with
that.
With a hill. Yeah. Yeah.
If you're going to do a Boston qualifier, you want that course to be as flat and preferably downhill as possible.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you can run as fast as you can.
Exactly.
So, yeah. That's funny. Mm-hmm. These events, you can get outside in these places without an event, right? Like, there is nobody telling you you cannot, like, keeping you from running 4 point whatever mile loops around Government Peak Recreation Area to heart's desire, totally for free. You can do it. But you come to a race, you have a reason to be out there, in an environment where, in a place that you probably wouldn't go and run 4.1 odd miles over and over again just for fun. Most people would not do that. And most people would not be running a mile and a half-ish up that course that you're describing in Hatcher Pass at Ski Talk, because it's uphill and, you know, like, it's beautiful, but there are so many other places to run. But going to a race, whether it is your races or the Skinny Raven races or races in Homer, they've got the Grace Ridge Run in Homer that is something that I want to do, where they go out across Kachemak Bay and go up Grace Ridge point to point in an environment with other people. Where somebody's telling you where the course is, and hopefully it's still marked by the time you get there. I mean, lots of things can go wrong, right? But, like, it's an environment that is a gateway to doing this in a way that going by yourself, which you most certainly can, is not necessarily as good feeling.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I think that's, you know, even when I go do different ultras or races, I think, okay, well, at least, you know, at least somebody knows I'm out here. Like, I have a bib number. Somebody is eventually going to come find me. You know, I think there is a little security in that, and knowing that you're not totally alone out there and doing these things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Heidi, thank you so much for joining us on Outdoor Explorer today. It's been so fun talking to you about running, about ultra distance and other distance in Alaska, and running in Mat-Su. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to Outdoor Explorer. I'm your host, Amy Bouchatz. A special thank to today's guest, Heidi Quinn, for helping us dive into running and racing in Mat-Su. And from all your hosts at Outdoor Explorer, we'll see you outdoors.
Outdoor Explorer is a production of Alaska Public Media in Anchorage, Alaska. Tobin Shelby is its producer, and the program is edited by Ammon Swenson and Crystal Hyde. Theme music is by Portugal, the Man. Views expressed on the show are those of the participants and do not reflect the station or its underwriters. You can listen to Outdoor Explorer anytime at alaskapublic.org and in your favorite podcast app. If you have a question, comment, or a topic suggestion, email outdoorexplorer@alaskapublic.org.